Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for an opportunity, Lord, to be a vessel for you. And I know, Lord, the treasure is of you and not of me. And I pray, Lord, that tonight we will hear from you, that you will speak through me, Lord, that you will open our understanding, open my understanding, Lord, to the truth. I may know the truth only by the Spirit of truth can I know truth, Lord. So lead me, Lord, by your Holy Spirit tonight in everything I do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So I think we can all agree that things are happening very quickly in our world. Things are certainly not out of God's control. But from our perspective, things seem to be out of control. Things are right and are going to happen just like God said it would happen. He already knows. He's the beginning and the end. He sees the end from the beginning. And so we know that there's going to be a falling away from the faith, an apostasy. And I think we can see that happening. And, you know, we have to be careful. It doesn't matter how long we've been walking with the Lord. We need to guard ourselves. There are many things that could distract us and detour us from our mission, from our purpose in this world. And we are to be representatives of the Lord. Amen. So we need to pray every day and ask God for his strength, for his wisdom, his guidance, his help, you know, his divine protection over us. You know, God, just when we get in the car, we get ready to drive, whatever we're doing, sitting down for a meal, thank God for it. Amen. Ask the Lord to bless it. But in all things, we need to give thanks. And remember, there's a connection between thanks and joy, right? And thanksgiving and joy. And God wants us to be joyful. And I think if we don't focus on and reflect on the goodness of God, then we can get into a place where, you know, we start to see things from the wrong perspective. You know, the enemy wants us to tune into his station, to get on his rhythm, you know, and hit on his frequency, if you will. But God wants us to be tuned into heaven's frequency. And so we just ask, Lord, help us, lift us up out of this thing and, you know, help me to see things from your perspective. And not so I'm not being wise in my own understanding about things. Now, I believe that there's the true church, the bride of Christ. And then there is the apostate or the harlot church that is really married with the world. And yet the Lord is not coming for a harlot. He's coming for a virgin. He's coming for a pure bride, a church that is holy, that is prepared for the bridegroom. And so this apostate church, just a quick review, is going to reject sound teaching. You know, Paul told Timothy in the latter times, you know, men will no longer listen to sound doctrine, you know, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and turn from the truth unto fables. And this church will be materially rich, but spiritually poor. Laodicea, the lukewarm church, will also be full of people who will follow their own sinful desires. And also they'll have a form of godliness, but deny its power thereof. They will have left their first love, as Ephesus, will reject God's true prophets, and the way of truth will be evil spoken of. And also this false church will deceive the nations. Revelation 18, verse 23. And it will be filled with sexual immorality and all kinds of occultic activity. Witchcraft has certainly infiltrated, you know, the church. And we have to be on guard against these practices and these things that the enemy is trying to bring in. And the only way we can identify and see these things is by the Spirit of the Lord and the Word working together. God gave us his Word and he's given us his Spirit. Amen. So our eyes can be open to discern these things. It's just, it baffles me how many people are getting into all kinds of Hinduistic practices and, you know, spiritism and New Age practices. And they think it's okay just to kind of mix their Christianity with all these things. And I heard an ex-witch talk about how Christians are getting involved with all these occultic practices. And the question is, are they really Christians Or maybe they're babes that just have not had their eyes opened up enough to be able to discern danger, you know. But we have to be careful, you know. And it's the enemy is very crafty, as you know. He's subtle, and he knows how to dress things up to look real, you know, when they're actually fake. We can see that also of how the media has been controlling the minds of the people, you know, with their narrative, and they're all kind of been in cohorts together. And many people, they don't think for themselves anymore. They just accept what they hear others say as truth. And so they're able to, as a result of that, stir up crowds and get people to do crazy stuff. You know, and it's interesting when they go down and they interview people on the street as to, you know, why are you out here and what do you actually stand for? And many of them can't even explain why they're there or what they stand for. They're just, their friends are out there, or they were bored and didn't know what else to do, or they're just blowing off some steam. You know, and it's a shame because this is how the enemy will deceive. My people perish, the Lord said, from what? Lack of knowledge. So also this church will, this fallen church, this apostate church, is going to compromise with evil to avoid persecution. And we've been under pressure, haven't we, to conform to certain things that, you know, maybe our conscience has said, you know, that's not right. That's not okay with God. And this is where we need to take the stand, amen, and say, I'm going to be true to the Lord, who is my heavenly bridegroom. I'm not going to cheat on him. I'm not going to bow down and worship any other gods. We need to be firm in our faith and our convictions, like the three in the fiery furnace. Amen. They were not going to bow down to the spirit of Antichrist. So tonight we're going to get into Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to begin with verse 1. And here we see the scene changes dramatically to a great celebration in heaven. From a time when there was a great wrath being poured out in the earth, to now we shift and see a celebration taking place. Verse 1, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. So while there's mourning going on and happening on the earth, rejoicing is happening in heaven. How many know that there's joy in the presence of the Lord? And aren't you glad that God has given us his Holy Spirit? So even in the midst of the craziness, we can have peace. We can have joy. Hallelujah. And the joy of the Lord is our, amen, our strength. In Revelation 6 and 10, we read about the martyrs are crying out there. They said, oh, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood? Well, this is exactly what we see happening here in chapter 18, and God had poured out his judgment on the wicked. He destroyed the harlot church, and he avenged the blood of the martyrs. And now look at verse 5, Revelation 19, verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you, his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns, the one who holds all things in his control. Hallelujah. He is all powerful, omnipotent, all powerful. Amen. So what is heaven? Heaven is a place of tremendous praise. And now we see the time has come for the celebration of celebrations. Now, we have earthly celebrations, but the celebration that's going to happen at the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to exceed all celebration. It will be the celebration of celebrations, the long-awaited event. Revelation 19 and verse 7, Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. This is the true church, the bride, amen, has been prepared for the bridegroom. How many know that we're in that time of preparation right now? This is the time for which our Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom, he has patiently waited for. The Lord is waiting for the word from the Father to go and to get his people. to get his bride. So the marriage of the Lamb is the complete union of our Lord Jesus Christ and his church, his bride. And it's not a denomination, amen, but his very own people. In verse 8 it says, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now I want to camp out in this for a while, in this verse for a while. Let me read it again. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, the bride is what? Clothed in righteousness, right? She's to be clothed, what? In God's righteousness. And it says in verse 8 that to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. Very important that we see that. So it wasn't their own righteousness. It was granted to the bride, right? And yet the white linen is explained as symbolizing the righteous acts of the saints. So it is implied here, as in it is everywhere else in Scripture, that this is not their own righteousness, for it was given to the bride. We have to be careful, because if we misinterpret this verse, we can think that somehow I'm going to make myself righteous by the things that I do. Okay, now we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay, and we should have good works. Amen. God wants us to bear fruit and abundance, right? The Father is glorified in that. And so, therefore, the reference here has got to be to the righteousness which they receive by faith. That stays, all right, in agreement with the theme of Scripture throughout. That it says in James 2:23 that Abraham believed God. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, as he was called the friend of God. So we are justified by grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves, right? So Abraham, before the law, was justified by his faith. He was known as the father of the faithful, right? And why? Because when God spoke to him, he believed the word of God, and he moved in agreement with the instruction of the Lord. Very important. Amen. Because if we are walking and living in faith, we will have works. Amen. Works will follow. All right. James 2 and verse 20 says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works was dead, right? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? Faith was doing what? Working together with his works. Not the other way around. He wasn't doing works to be justified, but he moved in agreement and obedience to the voice of the Lord, the instruction of God, because he believed God, and that was accounted to him as righteousness. God declared him righteous because he was a man that believed on the Lord. The same way we're justified today. So you see in verse 22, faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect or complete. Question? Verse 8 says, Revelation 19:8, and to her it was granted to be what? Arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Here we go again. Now, David Guzik said this. I don't know who he is, but he said, believers are created for divinely prepared good works. These righteousnesses or righteous acts are what fill the hope chest of the bride of Jesus. It's what fills the hope chest of the bride of Jesus. And, you know, I thought that was really the best explanation that I've seen for this. The bride of Christ will be clothed with the righteous garments that are provided by the Lord, right? By the groom. And it is granted to the bride. But here, the hope chest is also referred to as a dowry box or glory box. So what was a dowry box? Well, this was a box where the bride would place, you know, linens and fine linens and things that were going to be for her new home, with her new union with her husband. So she was making preparation for the day of her marriage, you see. And so you and I likewise, as we partner with the Lord, we are repentant towards God. Amen. We're being washed. Our robes are being washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are being clothed upon by the Lord. Amen. He's the one that gives us the garments of righteousness. And basically we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. As we are clothed in Him, amen, then we don't give license to our sin nature. God has already destroyed the power of sin. And those of us who are in Christ also have power over that sin nature. So we are not subject to it anymore. We are free, amen, from bondage to sin. Because the power of sin has been broken through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Jesus took care of the sin problem. And so now He invites us to partner with Him so that we might store up for ourselves treasure where? In heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. We should have a hope chest. We should have an investment now through what we do in this world. Amen. That will be there for that day. Because when we come before the Lord, we're going to want to come with what? An offering to Him as well. To give thanks to the Lord for all He's done for us. So we come to Him with our good works, but our good works are not just our works, but they're the works that the Lord has directed us to do in His name, according to His will. Those are the works that are living works that will remain. Amen? Dead works are works that we did, you know, that were our own idea. And I'll serve God this way or that way, but what we do in obedience to God, amen, lasts forever. So Paul's desire was to be found, Philippians 3:9, in Him, in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now understand, again, he's not saying that I don't have works, okay? We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen. So it's important that Christians understand that we're supposed to bear good fruit. Amen. Have good works. And that, well, it's our reasonable service, isn't it, to offer our bodies back to Him for His service out of gratitude for what He's done. Amen. And if we really have faith, then we will have the evidence of faith. Faith has evidence. It's not superstition, right? There's substance, there's evidence to faith. And that is a life that is lived in agreement with the will of God. If we believe God, then we will obey His word. You cannot say you believe God and not obey His word. And I know today it's popular just to say, oh, we just float around and do our own thing. And I said a sinner's prayer 20 years ago, and I'm just going to go to heaven. And are you? I hope so. And you're not working to make your way to heaven. But if you have true faith, saving faith, it will produce, amen, a transformation of your heart. You'll receive a different heart, a new heart, amen, that will be desiring to please the Father. They'll be desiring to do what's right. And when we sin, we're grieved by it because of the spirit that we've received. Amen. That's how you know that you belong to God. Amen. Because you bear the fruit of God in your life. But people who say they're Christians because they said a sinner's prayer, but they bear no fruit, they have no good works, are liars. If we continue to live in sin. It's usually an indication if a person can habitually, continually live in sin that they're not born again. As a son, as a daughter, we will be chastened of the Lord. Amen. Chastised when we sin. Amen. We'll have conviction that comes upon us when we do the wrong thing. Because the Father loves His children. He disciplines us and He wants to bring us back. Amen. Under His protection. Because, you know, we have the option to leave God. We have the option to walk away from God. We have the option to take ourselves out from under His protective covering. And understand that apostasy is someone leaving the place where they once stood. In other words, they once believed, they once were in the faith, or at least they had some measure of understanding of faith. But the Bible says, and Paul told Timothy, that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. And they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And we see that. We see that happening. And where is the discernment? How come we can't see? How can people indulge in evil things and think there's nothing wrong with that if they have the Spirit of Christ in them? When I was an attender and a casual Christian and by association a Christian, you know, I could live a sinful life and it's no big deal. But when I was born again, man, it was a whole different story. I didn't want anything to do with it anymore. I wanted to live for God. And when I did sin, I felt rotten about it. And I would repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I couldn't live with myself, amen, with that guilt hanging over me. But God took care of it already, praise God. Aren't you glad that there's forgiveness? We have an advocate with the Father. So I know I'm saying a whole lot over this one verse, but there's much more to say about this because it's very important that you understand there's a connection between, you know, good works and being right with God. But it's not that we work to be right with God, but because we're right with God, we will automatically produce good works and we'll be rewarded for those good works if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And so some people, well, they'll have wood, hay, and stubble. I know some of the works I've done will probably be wood, hay, and stubble. They'll be burned up, amen, in that day. But I want gold and silver and precious stones, right? I want something that's going to be enduring, amen, because whatever is the will of God for me, that's what endures forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so we need righteousness in order to stand before God in favor. But we cannot produce it. We cannot produce the righteousness that is acceptable to God in and of ourselves. Righteousness is from God. And when we are right with God, we produce good fruit. And Isaiah 64:6, we all know this so well, but it says, but we are all like an unclean thing. And all our unrighteousness, our righteousness are like filthy rags, right? And so in grace, God gives his righteousness to those who repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So today you and I are able to enjoy a wonderful relationship with the Lord and because of his indwelling Holy Spirit. But in that day, the day of the wedding, the day of the wedding supper of the Lamb, if you will, our whole being will be united with the Lord in this awesome wedding celebration. In other words, in that day, we will see him face to face in all of his glory. Hallelujah. So right now, there's a part of us is on the earth, is it not? We're united in our spirit, amen, with Christ and seated in heavenly places positionally. But our body, our earth suit, amen, and part of us is still part of this earth realm, amen. So we have an obscured vision of God. We can't see God in his fullness because of the veil of our flesh. And we can only see as much as God allows us to see by his Spirit and his Word. And I believe God will allow us to see more if we have a hunger to see more, to know him better, right? 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. The New Living Translation says this, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. So then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. He knows us completely, doesn't he? But the day is coming when we will know him in fullness. And we get a taste of the goodness of the Lord. We get a taste of his presence now. He's given us his Spirit, amen? And we enjoy the fellowship and the fellowship of the Lord and the fellowship of God's people, amen? But man, it's going to be so amazing when we are there in the full revelation of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we're kind of looking through a darkened mirror, you know, our smoky glass. And so we see a little bit, but then we're going to have the full revelation. Looking forward to that. You remember Paul, after years of walking with Jesus, he still said in Philippians 3:10 that it was his desire to know him that I may know him, he said. Philippians 3:10. And throughout the word, marriage is used as an analogy to express the intimate relationship between God and his people. Hosea 2:19 says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. The New Living Translation says, I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. This is God's heart towards us. We have to get that revelation. You know, does God really love me? Some days I wonder, because I don't like me some days, you know. But God does love me, and that makes a difference. It, you know, to realize that really God, how can I know that? Well, God demonstrated his love for us at the cross. We have to remember the price that Jesus paid, how he willingly laid down his life for us, his sheep. Amen. Because he wanted us to be with him. And the devil's a liar. The devil wants us to think that God is always angry at us, or that he doesn't care, and he doesn't love us because we're too rotten to be loved. And yet he loved us when we were rotten. And he's the one that makes us good. He's the one that makes us right. So to God be the glory for the things he has done. If we're going to do any praising him and or any boasting, boast in the Lord. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. Here it is, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous for you with godly jealous, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That I may do what? Present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. His heart was that the church would be pure, that the church should be ready for that day. Amen. So that we would behave ourselves, that we would keep ourselves, that we would be faithful to him, and that we'll be fruitful in his absence as well. As we're looking forward to the day, hallelujah, when everything that we've invested, everything we've done in his name, amen, and according to his will, he will receive, hallelujah, that blessing, that benefit. He deserves it. That's why we're going to take our crowns, amen, and cast it down at his feet, hallelujah. God is calling his people. He's calling you and I to rekindle the fire of our love for Jesus. And we need an excitement. We need growing passion to know him more and more. You know, and this is a saying I've used often, but if the love of Christ doesn't master us, the love of the world will. You know, and the world is always trying to draw us away. And you know, I hope that people are not here for a good reason tonight. I hope it's not because of a favorite television show or whatever else. Think about it. God's desire is that we would grow together, that we would come together, that we would gather together as much as possible. We would get, amen, and meet. There's times when we can't do that. There's times we may not be able to drive at night. We understand that. But God wants his people gathering, and our priority must be the kingdom, must be the will of God, must be the purpose for which God saved us in the first place. Because he saved us with a purpose, didn't he? So it's our fervent love for the Lord that motivates us to continue to run this race with patience. And we know soon, and very soon. How soon? I don't know. But the Lord is going to return just like he said. And he's returning for who? His people, for his bride. To take us with him to the place he has prepared for us. John 14:2, I love this. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I what? Go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe he's talking about heaven. Do you? Hallelujah. Some people don't believe that we're actually going to heaven, that everything's going to happen here and then Jesus is going to come here. Well, heaven is going to come down, right? And it will come to earth. Yes. The new Jerusalem, right? Will come down out of heaven. However, during this time, we're in preparation as a bride and we're anticipating the coming of the bridegroom. That's why we have been given grace. Amen. To help us. to keep us, amen, so that we can overcome the temptations and that we can also bear fruit unto eternal life. Because in that day, I don't know, guys, but it's going to be, you know, you won't be able to go back and change anything or change, you know, go back and redeem the time. Once the time is gone, it's gone forever. And if you think about how quickly our lives are going, you know, how time is flying. And even the time I've known you guys, I'm watching hair change gray and my hair's getting grayer and falling out. And I mean, it's just how quickly, you know. But how quickly our lives go by. And so what are we living for? You guys are here for a reason tonight. Because you do have a hunger and a thirst and you want to know the Lord better. And that's Paul's desire, wasn't it? It was to know the Lord. To really know the Lord. And to know Him is to know love, to know joy, to know peace, to know goodness, to know faithfulness. All the good things. He's coming. And we know in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, this is the promise. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will, what? Rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, do what? Comfort one another with these words. So when you look around and you see all the drama and all the crazy stuff going on, just remember that it's not going to happen. It's not going to go on forever. The Lord is going to put His foot down. Amen. Literally. Amen. On the Mount of Olives, He's going to step into the scene. Hallelujah. And He's going to reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. And you know, they're going to call out to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb in that time. But there's going to be no hiding place. The Lord knows where you're at. So it's good that you get your heart right with God today, that we, amen, make our peace with our Lord. Hallelujah. I know there are a lot of people in high political office and high positions around the earth who think that they can just get away with all the terrible things they're doing because nothing seems to happen. They seem to get away with it. But God sees it all, and God will deal with it. Amen. And I'm just thankful that God's not, you know, going to judge me on all the things I've done in my past, because the blood of Jesus, amen, has dealt with that, and I've been cleansed from that. I've been set free from that. It's not going to be held against me anymore. Hallelujah. So there's forgiveness in the Lord. Aren't you glad that we have an advocate with the Father? We can come to Him and we can cry out to Him. And the Lord hears us, and the Lord wants to forgive people. The Lord wants people to know that there's forgiveness. Amen. And some of these people, the reason why they're so wicked is because they believe the lie from the enemy that has told them that there's no escape from this life of evil. You've sold your soul to the devil. How many know that all souls belong to the Lord? They don't belong to the devil. And that's a lie. And they think, well, I sold my soul. There's nothing I can do. So I might as well live like hell because I'm going to spend eternity there. And they don't understand that God will forgive them. God can cleanse them and make them a new creation. Amen. Hallelujah. There's hope in the Lord. And the devil lies to people and they believe it. And they just think that there's no hope. I've been too dirty, too bad, too wicked. But the Lord's blood, amen, avails for us. And for whosoever will turn to Him will repent of their sins and call on His name. 2 Peter 3:14, I finish with this. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Hallelujah. Lord, thank You for being patient with us. Thank You for giving us hope. Thank You for allowing us, Lord, in all of our brokenness and all of our sinfulness, to come to You. Lord, we believe in You. We believe that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we believe that You are the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only way to the Father. And we believe it's only through Your blood, Lord, that we can be redeemed, that we can be forgiven. And we believe, Lord, that You give unto us eternal life. And this life is in you. Thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation. Lord, give us the strength to live for you, to glorify you, and to be an extension of you in this world, Lord, to be your expression here, Lord, that we go and we represent you and we declare, hallelujah, the kingdom of heaven. Oh, Jesus, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the body of Christ. And thank you for the hope that one day we will be with you forever. Hallelujah. There will be no sickness, no pain, and no parting over there. Thank you for all you've done, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.